Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, is here in studio with us. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Let's talk with, you know, let's talk about the bad things that have happened. We had in McDavid just, I think it was last Tuesday, so kind of after we had our regular weekly interview, we had a homicide take place in McDavid, right?
Yeah, we had two guys that decide that one's going to sell some marijuana, one's going to buy some marijuana, and we believe both of them were being disingenuous. Both of them were trying to rob the other. Ultimately, one of the guys pulled out a handgun and shot a couple times into the abdomen of the victim. Was later pronounced dead, and the suspect, I don't recall his name right now because I don't want to glorify him anyway, but he fled into the wooded area. We deployed our canines and set up a perimeter, and he realized he was not going to get out, so he gave himself up. So we are charging him with the homicide.
Daytime, nighttime?
I believe it was nighttime.
So did you guys have drones, right? You use drones with IR, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
Did it happen to be needed in this case?
I don't know that we deployed the drones in time. It takes a lot of time
sure.
to get drones out there. We had canines and set up the perimeter pretty quickly.
Gotcha. What do you have, two, three across the county?
Oh, the drones you mean?
Yeah.
Or canines?
canines is like 10 or 12,
oh,
right?
We have like 16.
Oh, okay.
Canines, yeah.
All right.
The drone program, we were working to getting a drone on every shift so that whenever, and every shift means every days and nights.
Yeah.
And also one on the north end, one on the south end. On at all times,
right?
So we're working on that. We have about four now. We can deploy two of those pretty quickly, but we have to call a drone operator. There's a lot of rules,
sure,
now, as you know. But we're working on getting more people certified, and we're constantly meeting with different vendors on the right drone. We
yep.
have a drone specific to SWAT. We have a couple of drones specific to perimeters and searching.
Sure, because what SWAT may need it for isn't going to involve other things that you wouldn't need for just plain surveillance,
right,
or search and rescue, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the SWAT should be able to deploy gas and audio,
right,
video type of stuff.
Go inside rather than just fly over, all that, right?
Yeah, we're not deploying drones just to patrol people's backyards. What we're doing, we're using for missing, endangered individuals or children, and then we obviously use it for setting up perimeters.
Do you see a future where, you know, every deputy's got an AR-15 and a drone in the trunk?
I can certainly see a future where there are drones deployed, perhaps from a central station or central locations.
Okay.
Every time a 911 call, this is just my thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whenever a 911 call is brought into the dispatch center, then they can deploy a drone. Whether it's a traffic crash, you can get a good look at what the scene looks like.
Yeah.
It helps you deploy additional units there. I don't know that they will replace a person on the street that can help and can think logically, but I think that with technology there are certainly some applications where you can, you know, I talk a lot about this intersection because of our real time crime center, this mm-hmm. intersection of mm-hmm. technology and manpower, and I think you need both, and I think that you can maximize our efficiency by understanding where we're going.
So kind of a dispatch response tool more than a like search and rescue or particular crime fighting, but like, you know, you've got cameras in the real-time crime center,
right?
And you can obviously look on those, but if there's no camera on the road stretch or intersection and you need to get a picture of it, hey, you know, throw a drone out there while the officers are responding. I mean, that's kind of what I hear you saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, to think about that, again, we have drones that have the cameras and we can see them through the real-time crime center.
Mm-hmm.
So the drone can be deployed and can get there in a matter of minutes or even obviously within a minute if it's close.
Right.
And then the deputies that are responding can see the scene. They can see perhaps a suspect leaving. They can see a car. They can see, the need for an ambulance. They can see if there's a fire. They can see a lot of things that will help us to make the most appropriate response.
Just don't pull me over with a drone.
I
deep,
know,
deep future. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we get that
give
far.
Us a couple of years. Not
you
quite
know,
there yet.
Sometimes you think about, you know, have I lived too long type
I know,
of things.
Right?
You know, are we ready for that sort of thing?
Is that a Escambia County Sheriff's Office or Eglin in my rearview mirror? You know, who's trailing me at this point? We also had, roommate versus roommate stabbing on Sunday. Is that right?
We had this happen on Sunday. We had a guy named Joshua Welch. Joshua Welch had a roommate, and during a disturbance, he stabbed his roommate, and then he also fled into the woods. Apparently, it's kind of cool nowadays to just flee into
the woods,
thinking that you can get out. Well, if you recall, on Sunday night, it was raining quite heavily. We did set up a perimeter on that at that time, but we weren't able to find him. So We broke down our perimeter, and then we heard from a resident, I'm trying to figure out where it was, not too far away, saying, hey, we think there's a guy in the woods behind our house. So we obviously reestablished our perimeter in that location, and we sent out our dog in there, and we ended up arresting this guy as well. So our canines did a jam-up job over the last couple of days, last week, and we ended up arresting and charging two, one stabber and one shooter.
You know, it's. I think you and I had talked about it when it happened, but it reminds me of in our neighborhood a couple of years ago, there was somebody that you guys were pulling over and, you know, not even in our neighborhood. It was like, you know, a couple streets over kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they fled from the scene on foot. And if I remember correctly, it might have even been somebody like that had the orange jumpsuit, like they were at some kind of a custody transfer, whatever. Anyway, so this person was like running through the neighborhood and, you know, my wife and all the other neighbors are out there, you know, basically on next door and talking with you guys. Hey, he's over here, you know, like, you know, you can't hide behind that tree.
Well, you know, and those are some of the things that you see on television where, you know, a cop's following someone and you make a corner and you say, if you see the guy running around here, and they'll point one way or the other, or they'll just act like they ignore you. Well, a lot of times people do help us, you know, that they understand that we're chasing someone on foot, or if it's a vehicle pursuit and they bail out of the car, and then mm-hmm. we get there and they're like, he went around, you know, back there. They want to get the bad guy caught. And
right.
Obviously, that's a good thing about living in the South.
No, that's exactly right. We're talking to Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. We'll be back to that. Now, we got an update. Six drones is what you guys have?
Six drones. Yeah, I got a text from.
How fast
from
are they?
Chief, well, they're faster than I am.
Okay.
Which is saying something, right? Oh, I mean in my car.
Yeah. I'll let you own that one. That's fine. You were the running back. Sheriff Simmons, a couple other things I wanted to ask you about. One is, I had seen this on Facebook, and I know you love to be able to dispel, you know, misperceptions or whatever. You expanded, when you first came on as sheriff, you wanted to expand substations, and you did. One at Walnut Hill, Cantonment area, and one in Perdido Key. But somebody's like, I don't know, the sheriff doesn't have any people at this substation in Perdido Key. Your answer?
Yeah, well, I got to take you back. A couple years ago, we used to have a substation or a precinct in Perdido and in Walnut Hill. And then they closed those before I got to the sheriff's office. And I said, you know what, we could use those. I like the feel of having someone in an area where they can go and have meetings and people, the people that are assigned there understand that particular location. So speaking specifically to those two precincts, when I opened them up, I didn't want to just open up for the sake of opening up. I want to make sure that we had the manpower there. Well, we have a north and a south, and then we have those two precincts and others. But for the sake of this conversation, we have two other precincts. And what they were doing, they were still filling it with the north and south units because we didn't have enough.
We didn't magically have more deputies. So they were borrowing from the hood, the north and drive, or the
Perdido. Right, we just carved those out is what we did. And so technically they weren't assigned to the Perdido, but we did have a lieutenant assigned to both of those so they can handle some community issues that we have, unique community issues in both those locations. The thought was that as we get caught up with our police academy, and that we can start to fill those positions. So I'm happy to say that in about 30 days, or by the end of March, we will have four more deputies assigned to Perdido and four more assigned to Walnut Hill, and then bring those back into the north and the south. So we will have the additional manpower. It's just taken us a while to get these positions filled up. So we're almost at a point now where we can get that, and then we'll continue to fill both the north and the south as needed.
Very good. Mardi Gras parade coming up this Saturday. Now, that's in the city, but you guys, do you guys help with the city one, or do you mostly let that be PPD?
We will help this year.
Okay.
We've been in conversations. The mayor called and said, asked if we had some people that we could help them with. And it's in the county, so we, you know, I do have an obligation as the sheriff for the entire county to help where help is needed. So we will help them. I don't get into talking too much about security.
Sure.
I'll leave that up to the Pensacola Police Department on what they want to put out. But for the first time, maybe forever, you will see uniformed deputies helping out with the two parades in downtown Pensacola.
And not just in the parade, but actually working security for the parade. Because you guys are obviously always at the front of the parade with the horses and the motorcycles and all
near
that kind
the
of
front,
stuff.
Yeah.
Near the front,
yeah.
Fair enough. But the beach parade is not a Pensacola city. That's a you guys only. And just kind of, I had not been thinking about this, but since Bourbon Street, of course, we all think very differently about these public events. And certainly in terms of physical ability to discourage anything like that, the ability in streets with blocks and buildings is much easier to defend than, say, Via de Luna, which is very hard to protect in a grand scale scheme like that, right?
It is. It would be easier to block off sidewalks and roadways if you consider what you're talking about with Bourbon Street. And you always know that where there's a will, there's a way. You know, yeah. We always know that if there's a big ball game or a high school football game, anything where crowds can gather, whether it's whatever event you have
right.
On a weekend night or a graduation or, again, any football games. But you consider what could happen, you know, and you take steps to maybe eliminate some of those threats. So in regards to the beach, again, I don't get into specific details, but I will tell you that the parade route's only 0.7 miles. So it's less than 1 mile and it's one road,
sure.
But there are a lot of driveways, a lot of side streets. And we do have barricades and we will have 50 deputies there in just that 1 mile parade.
Wow. Okay.
And we will have a lot of them in a vehicle prepared to take action if it's needed. So we have taken into consideration what took place in New Orleans, as you would. You know, just because something doesn't happen in Escambia County doesn't mean we don't look at that and critique that and do a what if that were to happen here. That's the whole basis for these tabletop exercises on whether it's hurricane, you know, or whether it's, you know, some sort of another weather event, a tornado like we've had a couple of weeks ago, or if it's just a large gathering, you know, like we have at the beach for the 4th of July or the Blue Angel Air Show, or even the fair. So we always critique these things and look for ways to better promote the safety of Escambia County.
Okay, and I'm inclined to ask other questions because in my mind I'm thinking through some of the possibilities, mm-hmm. and you know I'm thinking about let's put a dude up on the condo with the Barrett, you know, but at least, I mean, the physical ability to intercede with the Tahoe is a big deal. And, you know, that's, you have to think that way because you can't put up, there are not enough physical barriers that it makes sense to. So no, I appreciate that you guys are thinking about that. And right. I certainly want to ask you to get into any more details than that. I did want to ask you though. One thing is you're doing a civilian firearms training course.
Right.
First time.
I think we had one maybe last year,
okay.
a little shorter version of it. There was a state grant, if you recall,
to put
these things on. So we put in for the grant. Anytime we can help our citizens with gun safety, you know, as you know, I'm a fan of protection,
right.
Protecting yourself and your family. And so if we had some funds available for overtime, and our deputies love to do it, and so we do put this thing on as often as we can, and again, it filled up pretty quickly. Which I love. I just love the fact that we can give some hints and some pointers to people with and just reminders, really.
Yeah.
And you and I talk about it all the time. You know, just because you can carry concealed doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at it.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that you can have, you know, every time you step out of a car, a gun flops down in the on the ground. You know, you're probably more danger than helpful to others. So to do this, and many people don't need it. People practice on their own. Some people are very handy with a weapon. But if you want it, then obviously we made it available and hopefully to continue to do this.
Very good. I like that. I'm not going to have time to ask you about the Dream Big Academy you just had, but we'll maybe talk about that next week. Another big success, things that you guys are always doing for community outreach. But I did want to give you a chance to talk. You mentioned a moment ago gun ownership and the usefulness of it in the community. Of course, Michelle Salzman, who you know very well, has filed a bill to legalize 18, 19, 20-year-olds buying long guns, rifles and shotguns in Florida. Whether it passes or not is another question. Your perspective on, you know, under 21s having access to long barrels and it's not your purview to change, but even, you know, handguns, right, which they can't legally purchase under federal law, but could be transferred in any way. So just wanted to give you a chance to comment because it's a public policy issue.
Yeah, I think that you take a look at these things from a common sense standpoint. I look at them from, does it make sense that you can go to war and carry a gun, but you can't buy one in the state of Florida? To me, that makes, I can't connect those two dots. The second thing is I look at and see, is that something that we're seeing? Do we see, in this case, I'm talking about shotguns and long guns or rifles. Are we seeing homicides? Are we seeing our shootings conducted with long guns and rifles? While we do see some, that's not most, by far and away, the majority of our shootings are used by handguns.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that it's going to impact that very much at all. I can't say that it will if you base it on statistics. But again, the common sense approach to it is, hey, is this, How is it okay for me to send you off, you know, to war to defend our country, but you can't come home and buy a shotgun to go dove hunting or, mm-hmm. or deer hunting, whatever kind of hunting you want to do with it? I always err on the side of personal freedoms and Second Amendment rights, and so I would probably support that.
And I think I might have said it yesterday. I was talking to Bob Johnson about this, but you know, in my mind, it's the 19-year-old woman who's living on her own, and I want her to be able to chamber that shotgun as deterrence for sound and fire it if she needs to. I don't want her to have to depend on the kindness of strangers. You know,
yeah,
for
you know,
her personal
safety. The racking of a shotgun is a unique sound.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it's even more impactful when you're a criminal. You know,
it has a powerful discouraging effect, I would think, on what people are willing to do. Sheriff Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Simmons, thank you so much for the time. I super appreciate it. And in case people don't know what we're talking about, let's give them the one chance. That'll do it. Sheriff, I will talk to you again next week.
All right, y'all take care.